to Flower Hour.
A podcast completely dedicated to baking. I'm Amanda in Los Angeles.
And I'm Jeremiah in Sacramento.
Well, 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 here we are, 2020.
2020, and what a strange time we find ourselves in.
What a strange time. Scary, strange, interesting, challenging, all the words. I find myself using a lot of emoji faces these days.
Yes. So we're coming to you in quarantine. How are you? Are you safe? How's your family?
I'm safe. We're all well. We're here in Los Angeles in our house, and I'm so thankful to have a cozy place to be. My husband and I have talked a lot about all the different places we've lived throughout our lives and different places and how they would have been more challenging to be kind of trapped in. And so we're really lucky that we have a home that's safe and cozy, and we have our kids to keep us busy and entertained and just to spend our time with. And it's really a very nice nest. And so, yeah, we're safe, we're cozy, we're healthy, and we're here. How about you?
Same. We're safe, we're healthy, our friends and family are safe, and also really thankful for where we live. We're close to the Sacramento River. We literally live next to it, and just so thankful to be able to whip out into nature and take a walk. And I just feel for all the people who are stuck in a city who maybe can't take walks and get into nature as much. And so just feeling really thankful for where we are and what we're able to access.
Yeah. And I'm so thankful to be kind of like isolated with my family. I've got a lot of friends that are single and don't have roommates. And I think just a shout out to the single people for staying strong and making really good decisions to try to keep yourself and your community safe. I think your sacrifice is much bigger to be isolated, because I have one friend, she was telling me, she's like, I wake up, I'm alone. I spend all day alone. I go to sleep alone to know that I'm going to wake up alone. And it's really, really hard. So if you're listening, I'm thinking of you and rooting for you and appreciating what you're doing.
Well, it's interesting too. Everyone is at home. Everyone's cooking more. Everyone's baking more. And I know for me at first, I was like, I don't want to bake a lot because then I have to eat it, which isn't always a bad thing. But, you know, when you're trying to maintain that balance, it's, the temptation is real.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The last thing you want is to be stuck in a house with gobs of dessert and nothing else. Especially, I mean, we've talked about this some for me in the middle of a health crisis. You know, this is a health crisis. I want to do everything I can to bolster my health. And so to some extent, eating sugar feels a little counterintuitive right now. I'm going, I'm having a tough time figuring out its place exactly.
Yes.
It's interesting.
It is interesting. And then I decided to do a pop-up where you came in to pick up pre-orders. And so it did really start to feel good to be back in the kitchen baking again and to have a place to give the baked goods and to connect with people that way felt really nice.
And I think it's interesting because we have talked about this, whether you guys know it or not, Jeremiah and I, we're on the phone chit-chatting with or without Flower Hour. So he knows how I feel. And I think that it's really interesting how there are so many different reactions to this time, especially with regards to baking and eating, that are all very healthy and normal responses. I think that for some people to be able to pick up treats from you is a small luxury that in this time is extremely comforting, and it's a great gift to your community. And I think for some people, it's like, oh, this is a wonderful thing. And then there's other people like me where I think it depends. Okay, I'm kind of rambling here, but just go with me, people. I think that it's very telling, at least for me, of what baking's role has been in my life. because for me, it's very celebratory and it's very much about getting together with people, whether it's for classes or having people over to visit. And so if I'm not having people over to visit and I'm not having classes, it feels like a lot of that urge to bake goes away. Whereas I see people who do blogging for a living, they're needing to do this as much as ever before. One, because it's their income, and then also because a lot of people are looking for great recipes right now. So I think, you know, for some people it may kick it into high gear. And then for me, every class I had is canceled. Every, you know, I had some really exciting events that I'm still kind of lamenting a bit, that all just evaporated. Everything just went away. So it just kind of felt like, what's the point, to be honest? It just felt like, you know, don't want to do it. So,
and I really struggle with want, even taking the steps to put on this pop-up for pickup, because I just didn't even know how it would be perceived. And am I trying to do something that's not necessarily that, I hate to use the word essential because it's a word we're all really thinking about right now, but essential. My first step was just going to the grocery stores that I hadn't really been to see what is available. And I don't want to be taking ingredients or supplies from people who really need them. And then I kind of took a step back when I saw the grocery stores, depending on which ones you go to there, it is kind of like frightening, of course. And I think a lot of people can relate to seeing empty shelves. But then there are some that totally are fully stocked, and also realizing we're not going to run out of food. It's just, we're just in this weird moment of a bit of panic buying. So that calmed me down. And then just realizing, like you said, the response that people do want small luxuries and want to have a treat. And it is sort of a way to break the day up and break the week up. And so while it is an essential, I'm glad I did it. But I also felt super strange in the beginnings, the plannings of it.
I think it's interesting, something that you shared with me about the groceries too. I think depending on your situation, like for me, I'm not baking that much. I don't have plans of doing a pop-up. So I'm not going from store to store to find ingredients, because there's plenty at the one store we've been going to for my family to eat. But if you do have, you know, different people are in different spots. If you do have the need to get certain things, you shared a great resource for getting ingredients right now. I thought, ooh, our listeners might be interested in that.
Yeah. So I found that restaurant supply stores were well stocked. And also, the traffic was much less than your normal grocery stores. I think restaurant people definitely either shop super early or super late. I'm not really sure, but the ones I've been to, there's no one there. Of course, you have to be comfortable buying, you know, 25-pound bags of flour, sugar, or even heavier. I definitely bought a box of eggs. I had 150 eggs. So, and no one looked at me strange for buying 10 pounds of butter, which felt good because, you know, we're all trying to be respectful and only take one of things. So, and trust me, I'm not hoarding that butter. It will be given to people. So yeah, that's my best recommendation. If you can find a wholesale type store that doesn't require a membership, but I definitely am avoiding, you know, Costco or the big surplus stores. I'm looking for those, you know, regional stores that are, you know, tailored towards restaurants.
I think also that kind of makes me think about, because certain ingredients are harder to find. Like my husband went to the grocery store again yesterday and still there's no flour. I still have about 3/4 of a bag. So I'm being really like strategic with like what's most important, you know, weighing out, would I rather have pizza or biscuits, that kind of thing.
Who won?
Well, we have made pizza so far, but we have not made biscuits so far. So probably before I would make pizza again, I'll make some biscuits. But I've been doing lots of substitutions because I'm also out of granulated sugar. But for whatever reason, over time, I don't know if you guys do this, but I go to the grocery store and there's certain ingredients where I'm like, I can't remember if I have it. So I end up each time I go buying another bag. And one of those things for me is light brown sugar. So I always somehow have like 10 bags of light brown sugar because every time I go, I'm like, I don't know if I have this. So even though I'm out of granulated sugar, I think it's a great time to play with substitutions. And, you know, maybe you have a recipe that you've made a lot that you know you love, but get a little crazy, have some fun. And I've been enjoying that because there's been a couple things where I'm like, well, let's just do all brown sugar instead of part white and part brown, or coconut sugar if you have it. There's so many things that still work, but you know, maybe you use what you have too. I think that's nice.
I've had some messages come in about sourdough and sourdough starters. I know we're going to talk about bread in a bit, but exactly to your point, someone was new to making a starter and they were asking, well, I can't find whole wheat flour. How am I going to, you know, maintain this starter? I'm like, you can use a lot of less popular flours in a starter, like rye, like spelt. I mean, you can really make a starter out of anything, and even just all white flour, you can still have a starter. So just knowing, like you said, what you can substitute with, which, I mean, the internet is a fantastic resource, but you can also, I'm happy to answer any questions if you want to DM me or Amanda if you have any substitution questions. But have fun, get creative, and maybe you'll create something new and spectacular.
Don't you think that in times like this too, that's when a lot of amazing, innovative things come out? Because yeah. In the past, somebody's like, oh, I always make cherry pie, but now I only have peaches. And then you think, well, maybe I'll try this spice. And the next thing you know, there's this whole new thing that could be a new favorite. So in that way, I think it's kind of exciting and creative too.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So speaking of, well, I don't even know how to make this transition work, but cookbook, let's talk about cookbooks. What are you guys cooking out of? What are you reaching for?
Isn't it interesting? And like when you're in certain phases, and I've done this, you know, many times, like pandemic aside, just you go through phases where you're grabbing one or two books over and over. Yes. And those are your books, you know? And, lately, I think anything that I have been making, I mean, we've been eating a lot of, I've kind of gone back to my childhood. I remember my mom used to cook dinner, and a lot of times it was a meat and two vegetables. And that would mean she was cooking some sort of meat. And then she'd tell my brother and me, go pick a can from the pantry. And then those would be the two vegetables. And so we've been doing a lot of that kind of cooking. So a lot of things that don't really require recipes necessarily, where we're just like, let's do rice, these vegetables, and then this, I don't eat meat, but my family does. And so I'll go, you know, I'm going to have these beans and they're going to have chicken or whatever. So a lot of non-recipes, but the things that I have made have been from Instagram. And I just have to shout out Candace Nelson, who's been on Flower Hour before. She posted this chocolate chip cookie skillet. And even though I had, until that moment, basically no urge to bake, I just didn't want sugar. I had been sick. I was sick at the start of this, you guys. And so I think that also skewed me, where I was like, all hands on deck, get well. And I just wanted nutrition, nutrition, nutrition. And so when she posted that skillet cookie, though, it was all I could think about. I showed my kids to kind of get them on my team. So then we were all like motivated and going, when are we having this? And that was one of the things I had to substitute. So I don't know exactly how hers tastes. I had to do all brown sugar, and then I didn't have enough chocolate. So I did part white chocolate, part dark chocolate instead of semi-sweet chocolate. But you guys, it was so good. My husband, when he took a bite, he was like, this is like chocolate chip cookie pudding. It was
warm
and molten and gooey. And because we ate it while it was, you know, probably while it was unsafe. I mean, it was burbling hot. We just couldn't resist. We started scooping it out. And then, after it cooled the next day, it was like a perfect sliceable, almost like cookie cake situation.
Yeah.
The recipe's on her Instagram. It's not too many posts back. If you guys are curious to make it, I definitely recommend it. Scroll back. It makes a lot of cookies, so be prepared. But scroll back, it's there. And she put the whole recipe in the post. It's in her comments, I think, is where it was. So that's something I've made that I was really excited about. What about you? Have you been grabbing a certain book or a certain blog, or where are you headed?
So Jonathan and I both love to cook. And Jonathan especially loves to dive into, you know, recipes for like a really like a special dinner. And I feel like now, because we have a lot of time, we're doing that not just maybe on the weekends or once a week. It's almost every night that we're kind of choosing special recipes, really have a lot of intention of what we want to do for dinner and for cocktail hour. Like cocktail hour is now a nightly thing versus like maybe we'll have a cocktail on the weekends. Like it's kind of part of the rhythm of our new reality, which is fun, which is fun. And thank God the scale hasn't changed. I'm like, please, please don't put on quarantine weight. You know what I mean? Okay. So we were given by a dear friend this book called Fresh India by Mira Soda. I don't know if I'm spelling or saying her name right, but her last name is spelled S-O-D-H-A. And then it's a vegetarian book, but it's just like some of the best Indian food I've ever tasted. And not that I am an expert on Indian food, but of course I've been to plenty of Indian restaurants, and it's just divine meals that we've been having out of that book. So that's been a big highlight. And I'm still, in terms of baking, I rarely bake other people's things. I'm still working hard on my book, the book that, you know, you've been hearing about for years now. So if I am baking, it's either for my pop-ups or, you know, for the book. Hashtag for the book.
Hashtag it's all for the book. Yeah. Okay. I also wanted to mention, well, now I'm distracted. I'm sitting here going, how do I get my paws on some Indian food? We need to put that on our grocery list next time. I'm like trying to talk baking and I'm going, I want this Indian food.
I mean, because you know, you've got to collect all the spices. I mean, always felt Indian food felt like not a weeknight meal. You know, you've got to be really organized unless you're just fluent in that type of cooking. So it's really fun to get the spices out. And then we might have to do some substitutions, right? Because you might not have all of those spices.
Seems like a great time to do that, though. It does make a lot of sense. Some other cookbooks I wanted to shout out, they just came out. So what a strange time, right, to have your book released where you've worked really hard. The whole lead up takes literally years. And then you think, oh, this is when I'll be in book tour mode. I've got, you know, dates and schedules right. And da da. And then all of a sudden, swipe, nope, your book comes out. And I saw, so one of my Insta friends, Erin Gardner, she's Erin Bakes on Instagram. She just came out with Procrastibaking. And she set up, it looked like in her living room with one of her kids, like a fake book tour. As if she was going into this, you know, pretend bookshop to do a book tour, because it's all changed. Like how you envisioned this masterpiece being shared with the world. It's like almost probably feels like shouting into the void, but I want her to know we're listening. You guys are listening. It still happened. And baking is having a moment. So if you're needing to freshen your baking bookshelf, Procrastibaking. They're all fun, approachable bakes. The idea is they're the bakes that you make when you are putting off what you should really be doing, which I think also applies very much to right now. And then another book, Rachel Connors, she's Bakerita on Instagram. And I think her book is beautifully timed, even though it's a strange time, I'm sure, for her to celebrate this book. She bakes a lot of healthier, you know, there's still desserts, but healthier bakes. So she has a lot of paleo bakes, gluten-free bakes, nut-free bakes, refined sugar-free bakes. And because they are written in that different sort of way, I found like as I look through there, maybe if you are out of sugar, there's a lot of recipes that use up the maple syrup that you might have, or they use up the honey that you might have, just different sort of things. So her book is called Bakerita. That's also her name on Instagram. So it's a beautiful book. I have a copy of that one and I'm very excited to use it myself. There's some molasses ginger cookies in there that just look out of this world.
I love that cookie. It's such a good cookie.
Such
classic.
A cookie. Oh yeah. And she uses coconut sugar, which you guys know is one of my faves. So as soon as I can get my paws on some coconut sugar, I've got my eye on those cookies.
Yum. Yum. Well, bread, like we said earlier, is having a huge moment because what is it about bread and being home? Why? I mean, well, bread's, first of all, it's hard to buy bread, right? You can't go out and get it like you used to. And it's interesting that we're all kind of, you know, turning inward a bit more. I mean, if there's one silver lining from this whole experience is that we're looking inward and we're developing sort of these nest nurture-like skills.
Yeah.
And I think bread is a big part of that.
I think for me, making bread, I love to make bread, but I don't do it very often. And part of it is I like to be free. I always tell my husband, I'm a wild horse. Don't try to corral me. So the idea of being trapped at home by some sort of bread schedule kind of pisses me off. I'm like, I'm not going to let this loaf of bread tell me what to do. So I found myself though being a lot more open to making bread lately because I'm like, I'm here either way. It's not that hard to set the timer for however many hours in the future to go in and do a quick step of flip it, turn it, fold it, whatever. It's like, this is not that inconvenient anymore just because our lifestyles are different being at home. It's like, oh, suddenly this is pretty easy and very rewarding. You know, one of my favorites, I've always mentioned it, is the Jem Leahy No Need Dutch Oven Bread.
Yeah, yeah.
I've made that since we've been in isolation and it is so good. And it just, it does make your house smell like a home. But sourdough, oh my God. Sourdough is like the Instagram sensation these days.
I mean, it went from literally being this niche topic where only certain bakers gravitated towards to now it's like everyone is making sourdough and I love it. It's so fun. And I want to tell everyone who's just starting, you're going to go through the brick phase. What's the brick phase? It's where your loaf does not rise and out of the oven comes these sourdough bricks and you think I've ruined it. I can't do this. And it's just a rite of passage, people. You're going to be okay. It's just a rite of passage. My best advice is you've got to feed that starter twice a day for sometimes up to a week. You want the most lively, lively, excited starter to have the most successful bread. So if you're just, you have a baby starter, it's you've only fed it once a day for a while, you're probably going to have a brick. So that's my best advice.
I say butter that brick and eat it anyway.
Right?
Right. Especially while it's warm, even dense bread is still pretty fantastic with a little
especially warm.
Butter. Yeah. Yes. So nice. And we have some good, well, not good. We have some great bread episodes. Amazing. If you're just now getting into it and you need some bread inspiration, I highly recommend our bread episodes. Like I said, it's never been my go-to baking genre, but even I truly adored our bread episodes. I mean, they are really great. So please pop back and have a listen to those. Also on Instagram, so one of my friends, Rosie, well, I call her Rosie. I think she goes by Rose, but she's Rosie in my mind. Her screen name is T. Rose Lawrence, and she also is at Red Bread. So either of those, she's been doing these amazing Instagram lives where she's taking you through the whole process daily. Okay, let's feed our starter together. So you can set your alarm and get on with her. And then she shows you so many creative ways to use the discard. She knows bread like no one I know knows bread. I mean, she is a bread queen and the way she loves to share her knowledge is a truly beautiful and valuable thing. So please pop on, give her a follow, enjoy her lives. She's been doing lives with other pastry chefs too. She's popped on with Sasha, who's also a friend. They've been doing lives and kind of showing like what they do with things and working through recipes. It's been really exciting. So please pop on and enjoy those. And oh, while I'm thinking about lives, Displaced Housewife, also a former guest and friend, she's been on here. Becky has been doing lives with her daughter, Stella, and they are just this duo of fun. It's really exciting to see this mother and daughter baking situation. And you know, Displaced Housewife, she does this as her income. So she takes it very seriously. And then she's got her daughter, who's a teenager, who does things at a really excellent level, but she has this lighthearted, you know, approach of like, this is a hobby. It's fun for her. It's not her business. And the combination is really cool and exciting. And then I know somebody else who's going to be doing a live sometime soon.
Oh, right. Me.
Oh, who could that be?
So I'm partnering with a Sacramento baker, Joe Boy Bakes, Joe Luna. And I believe his Instagram is Boys Bakery. And we're going to be doing an Instagram Live together. So this is coming at you the week of Easter. So if you're listening before Wednesday, before Easter, Wednesday night, we will be doing an Instagram Live where we're just going to be answering questions from all of you about baking. We will probably do some sort of tutorial based on those questions. And I believe Joe is going to share his chocolate cake recipe, which is always fun to see how people interpret chocolate cake. So I'm excited to get a peek at his recipe as well.
I'll be excited to watch that. Yeah, chocolate cake is so fun to see the different ways it can be made. And most every chocolate cake is delicious in its own way. So it's really fun to see the different iterations of it. I love that. So speaking of cake, I'm just backtracking here a bit about stuff we baked. I didn't get to mention this, but so before all of this, you know, calamity began, we all had our things planned. And one of the things I had coming up is I was going to speak at the Pinners Conference. So I'd started baking for that already. And I was freezing cakes because I was going to be demoing a lot of cakes. And I got to use one of those for my daughter's birthday. She turned 7 on April 2nd.
Happy birthday, Gemma.
Happy birthday, Gemma. And I just thought it was such an interesting moment in time to have your birthday during this global crisis. And I also saw Oh Lady Cakes had her birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Ashley. And she talked about how she didn't expect it to be such a wonderful, beautiful, and emotional experience. But I just want to encourage everybody to celebrate your birthdays still. So when you can celebrate, it just felt so nice to have a genuine, legit celebration. I enjoyed celebrating my daughter so much. And it wasn't, you know, there's a lot of times when I'm like, oh, I'm trying to have a good attitude and I'm trying to be positive. And I think that's really important, but there's also some sort of a feeling that it's forced because it kind of is, you know, you're going, I'm going to have a good attitude. And it felt so wonderful to genuinely, authentically just celebrate. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful that she's alive. I'm thankful that she's my daughter. I'm thankful that we got to celebrate another year of life. And to celebrate that, I used one of the frozen cakes that I had made for the conference. I, you know, pulled it out, and to make use of that felt really good. And it was just, it was a great moment. So if you're feeling weird about baking like me, I just thought I'd put that in there. If you have an authentic moment you can celebrate, give that to yourself. Cause it was just a really great, I think, gift to our family.
That's beautiful. So beautiful. I want to say as well, I will try to remember to link in the show notes all these, the bakers and the episodes that we've been talking about and Instagram profiles and lives, and the episodes too about bread that you want to look for are by Peter Reinhardt and James from Cluckmuck Cook of the British Bake Off.
Yeah, I might even go back and have a listen myself because I do still have, like I said, I have some flour, I have some yeast, and I have the time, honey. I'm here. The bread can't trap me right now. I'm already here. So those are good ones. Yep, definitely get on there and listen. And then I think any sort of conversation in this time, any sort of platform that any of us have, I think it's really important to me, and I know it's important to you too, Jeremiah, to take a moment and just say thank you to everyone who's out there lifting us up right now. The obvious would be the healthcare workers. And I just personally want to shout out and say how very proud I am of my mom and my brother. They're both nurses and they're just being so brave.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Thank you so much to all of you out there doing your job to keep us all safe and healthy.
And the other people that our society often overlooks who work so hard during this time, and also in general, the people who are ringing up our groceries and picking up our trash, the things that it's really interesting. You said before, we're thinking about what's essential. And it's so strange that some of the jobs that we don't think about very often have to keep going because they are truly essential. They protect and take care of all of us all the time. And I'm just deeply thankful to you guys who are out there doing your job to keep us going.
Well, we will be speaking with all of you more now that we have time, with all kinds of time.
Yeah, and we're thinking of you guys. So thanks for listening. And I hope whatever you're doing, baking right now, or thinking about baking, or not baking, or baking like you never baked before, just we appreciate this community. And we're thankful to be able to touch base with you. It means a lot to me. And I hope you guys are taking care of yourselves and your families.
And we're just about to start all the spring holidays. So happy spring holidays to all of you. And I hope that if you can, you bake something special to commemorate this beautiful time of year, even amongst the strangeness we find ourselves in.
Oh yeah. Spring keeps coming. The waves are still going. Isn't nature such a comfort? I could go on a tangent here right at the end, but it's such a comfort at this time. So yeah, if anything, that's something for sure to be celebrated and commemorated.
I've always wanted to be more just aware of what the moon is up to. And this is, I'm now achieved that. Like now I know what the moon is up to. And like, I don't, it's always something I've always wanted to do. And I'm thankful that, okay, I've been able to slow down and I'm paying attention to the moon cycles, and whatever that means is what it means. But it's been, yeah, to get more in tune with nature, like if you have the opportunity, do it.
Yeah, what a gift. All right. Take care, everybody. And thank you so much for listening.
Be sure to subscribe to Flower Hour on iTunes or SoundCloud. And if you're enjoying your time with us, leave us a review. We'd appreciate it.